We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I embrace the high expectations associated with the job. I like the fact that Steeler Nation is pissed off, as am I, and we are. And so we're excited about meeting the challenges of 2019 and answering some of those questions that are out there about us.
Hey, thanks for finding us today on a Friday, starting a weekend, maybe starting a vacation out there as you drive home or you drive to your happy hour destination. How about Redbeards on 6th, a great hangout before the Pirates and Phillies kick off a series tonight at PNC Park. That was Mike Tomlin on a Richmond, Virginia television station. He's working a coach's camp down there before coming back to Pittsburgh for training camp. Players report on Thursday. First practice is Friday. Mike Tomlin saying that Steelers Nation, Steelers fans are pissed off. And he is too. But I think that anger or the uproar, like Steelers fans are obviously, I think, emotional right now and upset. But I don't think the heat is really as much on Mike Tomlin as you would think. If Steelers fans are angry, I don't think they're angry with Mike Tomlin right now. I think they're angry with Antonio Brown. And I actually think the way that the offseason, and it's wrapping up, only a week left, the way this offseason went brought Steelers fans closer together. There are moves that get made. There are things that happen that inevitably divide fan bases. I'll give you a perfect example of that. Marc-Andre Fleury versus Matt Murray. Pick a side of the room. Which goalie did you believe in? Who did you think was deserving of being the number one guy? Even though they were left really no choice because of the contracts and age of both goaltenders, picking Murray over Fleury still infuriates and bothers a big sect of Penguins fans. Talked about another trade, McCutchen, last hour, and how that drove a wedge between Pirates fans when it happened. And so you have either games or trades or signings, things that happen that cause people within the same community, in this case the same fan base, to argue with each other and fight with one another. And you would think if there was anything, I thought that what would bring fans together would be like a total level of disappointment and anger with the way the Steelers finished last year. How do you blow 10 games in, you've got a 2.5 game lead on the Ravens, the worst home loss in terms of blown lead in Heinz Field history, against the Chargers. You lose to Case Keenum and the Broncos on the road. An X-ray machine keeps Ben Roethlisberger on the sideline. Another awful Mike Tomlin-style loss in Oakland. And I thought this was going to be a year where all eyes going into training camp were on Tomlin. But a funny thing happened this offseason. Steelers fans, I think, rallied together and bonded together over Antonio Brown's antics. The way he conducted himself to get his parachute or eject button hit to get out of town. I also think the Browns hype, the Cleveland Browns hype, is another thing that has brought Steelers fans together. That there is so much, the hype machine and hoopla that the Browns are for real, that the trade for Beckham, Mayfield in year two, that offense is going to be one of the best in the NFL, that the Browns, despite one of the worst records in the NFL since coming back in 99 and having 1-15 followed by 0-16, and after the coaching change last year going 7-8-1, and you know, everybody seems to be picking them to win the division, that if Steelers fans are pissed off, it's at pundits and analysts and columnists and former players who believe that the Browns are ready to win the AFC North. It's interesting. This could have been a year where fans going into training camp looked at the Steelers and said, screw these guys. Two straight disappointing seasons, 2 years that blew up. You've got players that act like idiots. You've got a locker room full of dysfunction. You've got a head coach that can't be a disciplinarian and can't keep players in line. You have players that have acted out and have embarrassed the organization and the team on social media. By getting rid of Antonio Brown, and with the Browns kind of rise here, I think Steelers fans are not pissed off. I think for once they're actually excited. I think fans are really excited about this upcoming season. That some of Mike Tomlin's best teams have been the ones that had a chip on their shoulder, that went into the year with an us-against-the-world mentality. You know, no one's believing in us. How often have the Steelers been the underdog? How often have they been the hunter and not the hunted? And that's how this journey is going to start. The pressure is not on the Steelers to win the division. The pressure is on Cleveland. The pressure's on the Browns to deliver on the hype, to deliver on the expectations. And we don't know how Cleveland is going to react to that. We know last year that the Steelers had all that attention on them, and it blew up in their face. You know, the Steelers squandered one of the best offensive skill position cores in NFL history. They have a quarterback who's a first ballot Hall of Famer. They had a wide receiver who's a first ballot Hall of Famer. They had a running back in Le'Veon Bell who's a borderline Hall of Famer. And they wasted it. They pissed it away. They never got to a Super Bowl with that core. They lost to Blake Bortles and company at home in a playoff game. They got swept by the Jaguars that year. And then they missed the playoffs last season. And they had the Le'Veon Bell cloud hanging over their head. And when that cloud went away, Antonio Brown went off. Went off the reservation. So to say that the Steelers here, that their fans are in a lather and ticked off and in a foul mood going into training camp, I disagree with that. I think Tomlin's wrong. I think Steelers fans are out to prove people wrong. And that Steelers fans actually, despite all of Tomlin's warts and his failures as a coach and his shortcomings as a coach, I think Steelers fans believe that this team is going to get the last laugh. And I think that the expectations for the Steelers season are a little bit different this year. You know, I think there's always been kind of a Super Bowl or bust mindset in Pittsburgh. But I think with this team, get by Cleveland, win the division, don't vomit on yourself in the playoffs, have a respectable showing there, and I think fans will appreciate it. I think fans would be on board with that. Yeah, I don't think this is a fan base that's out for blood right now. Now, maybe that changes. If the Steelers go 8-8 this year and they blow games and Tomlin makes more questionable calls and the defense doesn't improve, well, then, yeah, it's open season on the coach. But I think this offseason has given Mike Tomlin a reprieve. This offseason has given Mike Tomlin a pardon. And maybe some of the resentment or anger towards Mike Tomlin will absolutely bubble back up if he gets a contract extension without doing anything to deserve it or earn it. That would be bad PR for the Steelers, in my opinion. But if they tell Mike Tomlin, hey, just go out there and win, and then we'll take care of you after the season, and he delivers on that, then I think, you know, it's been a long time since Mike Tomlin had a high approval rating here. He's got a big opportunity and chance to do that. Because this team isn't as talented as the last couple of years. This is the type of team where if they win, I think the coach is actually going to get some credit for it. If the Steelers have a big year, like mark my words on this. When the Steelers went 13-3 2 years ago, Mike Tomlin didn't get many Coach of the Year votes. Barely got any. If the Steelers go, say, 11-5 this year and win the AFC North, now, I don't know, you know, there might be another kind of rags to riches or underdog story in the NFL this year. But that kind of season from the Steelers, 11-5 AFC North champs, that would get Tomlin in the discussion for Coach of the Year. Are Steelers fans in a bad, foul mood going into the offseason? No. I think that they're determined and excited and ready to shut up the Browns hysteria, to show everybody that that hype is undeserved. What have they done? They had a losing year last year. Their quarterback looks good, but we've seen a lot of quarterbacks have awesome rookie years and come back down to earth. So let's see him with the pressure on what he does. Let's see a coach who, up until October of last year, wasn't even an offensive coordinator. So that was his first exposure to calling plays. He did a good job. If Baker Mayfield didn't like Freddie Kitchens, he'd be a wide receivers coach somewhere. That's the biggest. That was his biggest qualification for the job. He had the quarterback's endorsement, and that was good enough for the Browns. So let's see. And now that Antonio Brown's gone, fans believe that the circus has gone with it. I'm not convinced of that. I don't think that this team can help itself, that there's always drama inside the Steelers locker room. It does sort of feel like a fresh start, though, because the guys who were the biggest offenders are all gone. Bell and Brown. 412-928-9370. That's the Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line. Edgar Snyder reminds you to text responsibly. The fan hotline is brought to you by Armstrong Business. John Clayton, our NFL insider, is going to join us at 4. Jason Mackey, our Pirates insider, is going to join us at 5. Great takes coming up next, coming up later this hour. How about this for a question? We're live from Redbeard's, not too far away from PNC Park. If you had your druthers and you could trade one at the July 31st trade deadline, would you trade Felipe Vasquez or Starling Marte? That's next. I'm Andrew Filippone. It's the PM team on 93.7 The Fan. 93.7 The Fan time is 3:27. It's brought to you by Archie's on the south side, the official chicken wing of The Fan. Today's Twitter poll question, Pirates fans, who would you rather trade, Starling Marte or Felipe Vasquez? And the people have spoken. 58% have said Starling Marte. Now, I'm not Marte's biggest fan. He is in a fog or in a haze half the time. He's not always on his P's and Q's. He makes fundamental mistakes and errors often. He doesn't always hustle. His head's not always in the game. That being said, saying you'd rather trade Marte is the wrong answer. Because even though Vasquez is a more likable player, Vasquez would net you more in a trade. You would get more back. If both players were available, you'd have more teams calling on Vasquez than Marte. supply and demand principles, economics 101. More teams want Vasquez. Contending teams always need help in the bullpen. Vasquez would give the biggest shot in the arm. He is on a short list of best relievers in baseball. Good luck finding a relief pitcher better than him. So he would, I think, give you an opportunity to fill multiple holes. Starting pitcher, catcher, you're pretty set at the other infield spots, Ke'Bryan Hayes, Kevin Newman, Cole Tucker. I don't think an outfield prospect would hurt because Travis Swaggerty, a former first-round pick, is at single A. You don't really have a major league guy at triple A or double A. So I think that would be the third priority, starting pitcher one, catcher two, outfielder three. And Vasquez in one trade might help you fill two of those holes. It makes way more sense to trade Vasquez than Marte because center fielders are more valuable than closers. In the heat of a pennant race, more teams are going to need the closer. When building a baseball team, you'd much rather have a great center fielder than a great ninth inning guy. If you are an average team, you're just an okay team, how many times are you even going to get the ball to your closer? You know, what sometimes separates a good team from being great is they end up with five or six blown saves, maybe more, at the end of games, and instead of winning 90 games, they end up winning 84 and they miss the playoffs. I don't think the Pirates will be that close. You know, if you swapped out, if you took Vasquez off this team, you know, they'd go from what, 79 wins to maybe 71 or 72? I mean, he's worth a lot to them, but he's not the difference, in my opinion, from being a playoff team to being one that finishes in fourth or fifth place. With Marte, you know, I don't think center fielders grow on trees. And it's a position that is valuable, very important defensively. And so when you find somebody that can give you some offense at that position too, I don't know. I think to me it's pretty easy. So if it comes down to it, if I'm looking to do more than just what is standard at the trade deadline, which is move players on expiring contracts, I'm going to trade Vasquez before I trade Marte. The Pirates, other than saving a few dollars, getting rid of the expiring contracts is not really going to breathe life into the organization. Jordan Lyles, you're going to pretty much give away. Nobody wants Cervelli. Nobody wants Gung. What else is there? Dickerson? Man, I think we overrate Dickerson here. I mean, you'll have the day where Dickerson goes 4-for-4, and he has a great two-strike approach. He'll hit the ball to the opposite field. He'll choke up, and he'll, if they shift on him, he'll hit the ball the other way. He'll make an occasional sparkling play in left field. In today's baseball, the home run is king, and this Pirates team is short on power. They've got a first baseman who should hit 40-plus home runs. Nobody else projects as a power hitter on this team. Newman's a single hitter, single double hitter. Moran is a platoon player that's given you better numbers than you hoped, but when John Lester's on the mound, Colin Moran's not in the lineup. When Jose Quintana's on the mound, Colin Moran's not in the lineup. He's not an everyday player. He gets benched against lefties. So you're always going to have to mix and match with him. Even with Moran's, you know, surprising season, I still don't think he's changed the Pirates' minds. Next year, I would expect Ke'Bryan Hayes to be Pittsburgh's third baseman and Moran either slides over to second or just becomes a nice bench player. Or maybe once they trade Marte and move Brian Reynolds to center field, Moran plays a corner outfield spot. You trade Dickerson, you trade Melky Cabrera, and your outfield is brand new. It's Brian Reynolds in center, it's Colin Moran in right. If you're really out of it, maybe you give Jason Martin some extended opportunities in left field, and that's how you play out the string. Marte is not anywhere close to untouchable. If I had my choice, you know, I'm probably getting closer and closer to trading both guys between now and July 31st. Closers pretty much grow on trees. Not exactly ones like Felipe Vasquez, but guys who are good enough. And this general manager also has a long track record of finding closers who are all-star caliber. Melanson, all-star. Grilly, all-star. Vasquez, all-star. You can follow us on Twitter at 93.7TheFan, driven by Shorkey Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, locations in North Huntington and the North Hills. John Clayton's going to join me at 4 o'clock, our NFL insider. Jason Mackey, our Pirates insider, is going to join me at 5. Coming up next, a former Browns coach is upset at Baker Mayfield. And so we'll keep this going with the Steelers and Browns. The rivalry keeps getting bigger. And more information on why I think it's a good idea to bet against the Browns this year. 412-928-9370. Live from Redbeards. What a place to hang out before Pirates and Phillies if you're coming down here at all this weekend for games. The 79 celebration going on tomorrow night of that World Series team. Great happy hour spot, really good food, great beers on tap. Redbeards on 5th, all the games are on. Like this Cubs-Padres game and all the big home runs that have been hitting that one so far by Anthony Rizzo. Chris Muller's back on Monday. I'm Andrew Filippone. It's 93.7 The Fan.
It doesn't bother me personally because, I mean, again, I've been in the National Football League for a long time and I've seen a lot of different ways that people have handled things. He has to do what he feels he needed to do, you know, and so that's how he's handled it. Again, everybody's going to handle things differently. That's how he chooses to make sure that he's ready to go, ready to play, or has his team ready to play. And again, the Browns wasn't playing Hugh Jackson. They were playing the Bengals. So at the end of the day, whatever that was for him and their football team on those particular days, it worked. They won the game.
That's Hugh Jackson, who is one of the worst coaches in NFL history, on Fox Sports, clapping back at Baker Mayfield. Mayfield, in this ESPN.com story, said that he was motivated to beat the Bengals because Hugh Jackson, after getting fired, took a job in Cincinnati as an assistant last year. And there's all this discussion out there about Baker Mayfield's trash talk and whether or not his brash, cocky style is going to come back to haunt him and if he's going to regret it. Is he writing checks here that his arm and his play can't cash? And that is one of the biggest questions in the NFL, and it affects the Steelers going into 2019. Is Baker Mayfield for real? You know, he's putting together a list. He goes after talk show hosts. He craps on his former coach. And is he going to be able to back it up? Last year, after Jackson was fired in Cleveland, with Mayfield at quarterback, the Browns played 3 playoff teams. They lost to the Chiefs 37-21. They went to Houston and got beat 29-13. Went to Baltimore in week 17. That's the game where, you know, you had a strange bedfellow game where the Steelers were actually rooting for the Browns to win. because they needed Baltimore to lose to make the playoffs. And that comeback bid fell short, came up short. Ravens won the game 26-24. 0-3 against playoff teams. Average margin of defeat in those games, 11 points. Double-digit losers on average. Whereas with Mayfield at quarterback and Greg Williams as the head coach, Kitchens as the offensive coordinator, the Browns went 5-0 against teams with losing records. Beat Cincinnati twice with Jeff Driscoll at quarterback. Went to Denver and beat Case Keenum. Beat Atlanta. Beat Carolina, both at home. 5-0 against bad teams. 0-3 against good teams. So until the Browns beat a good team, I can't make them the favorites. Every time Baker Mayfield and the Browns went up against a good team last year, they lost. And most of the time, they didn't just lose, they got beat big. They lost by double digits. There's been nothing more annoying this offseason than the idea or the suggestion that the Browns are the team to beat based on a couple of offseason moves. How much of a difference will Odell Beckham Jr. make? Well, let me ask this question. How much of a difference did he make in New York? How many playoff games did the Giants win with Odell Beckham Jr.? I know he went on a cruise ship before they played the Packers in the playoffs, and then he caught like three footballs and they got crushed. I know he complained about his quarterback. I know he got into a fight with a kicking net, and that's it. So is Odell Beckham Jr. an X factor for the Browns? He wasn't for New York. You want to tell me Baker Mayfield's better than Eli Manning? I'll buy that. How about Kareem Hunt? Maybe he comes to the rescue in the second half of the season for the Browns. I don't know. Can you name any of their offensive linemen? They traded their guard to the Giants for Olivier Vernon. Their defense last year was one of the worst defenses in the NFL. Go look it up. 27th against the pass. Bottom half in points allowed. So the Browns are the favorites in Vegas to win the AFC North, but that's based almost entirely off of, you know, fans overreacting to trades in free agent signings. 7-8-1. The record looks good, but when you examine it, when you look at it more closely, the Browns built up that record against bad teams. They used to be a bad team. They've gone from bad to average. Now they've got to take a step from average to good. We've seen sophomore quarterbacks, second-year quarterbacks go backwards. So Mayfield wouldn't be the first to do that. Is he Peyton Manning? Or is he Peyton Manning or Robert Griffin? I don't know. We'll find out. I think he's probably more the latter than the former. I don't think we're watching a Hall of Famer in the making. But he talks like one. And other than a Heisman Trophy and some wins at Oklahoma, what does he have to show for it? I know in big games at Oklahoma, he wasn't always the best. Clemson in the playoff. Georgia in the playoff. All right, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. Scorching hot deals, which are right there with the weather going on right now. They got an all-star open house all month long. Open the door to a new Sun Chevy. High in 96 today. And things aren't going to get much cooler over the weekend as we've got a heat advisory here in Pittsburgh. I'm live from Redbeard's downtown, 6th Ave. Come check it out. Great place to hang out before the Pirates game today, tomorrow, or Sunday. Great happy hour specials. Awesome beers on tap. I'm really happy that I don't have Mueller here right now to tell me about the best craft beers. They got light beer. That's good enough for me. And they got a bunch more than that, too. So come on down to Redbeard's. Pirates, Phillies will be on the TVs here later tonight. Padres and Cubs on the TV right now. I like the score of that game, by the way, for entertainment purposes only. John Clayton's going to join me next. Somehow, Tyreek Hill has avoided any discipline from the NFL. He won't get suspended. He's been cleared. I've talked to John Clayton about the Browns before, but I want to get his talk on Baker Mayfield's bravado and if he has a problem with it. Also, what is he hearing on the Joe Hayden contract extension front? Hayden going into the final year of his deal. If you go to 93.7thefan.com, archived interviews there, you'll find a couple of former NFL GMs who are saying that the Steelers would be better off not extending Hayden. That's at 93.7thefan.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.